Welcome Lund Loyalists to John Lund Unleashed. Those watching on YouTube, on the John Lund Unleashed and Bay Area Sports Collective channels. Viewers on X, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, and Lundos listening to the podcast on Apple and Spotify. John Lund Unleashed, brought to you by Reappell Sports Medicine. Got pain? Check out our revolutionary stem cell treatments. And guys, if low T is bringing you down, Reappell Sports Medicine can put you back in the game. Now all juiced up and ready to go, here's John.
Oh, that's not going to work. That's better. A little better. That's a lot better. That's a little better. Thank you for joining us. Welcome in. Chaotic morning. Thank you for being patient with me this morning. It is episode 156. It is John Lund Unleashed. Thanks for joining us, man. We have a lot to get to today. I have solutions, possibly, for what's ailing the Giants' bats. As you can see right there, the cover, the blame game. That's where we are, Giants' blame game on this offense. A web gem last night, but it wasn't good enough for the Giants as the bats continue to stay cold. That is 19 runs in 14 games. I'm no mathematician, but that is far less than two runs a game, and four runs is the magic number for the Giants. So clearly, that's not going to get it done. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Good morning. And it is episode 156, the Giants blame game. As you look on the chalkboard there, if you're new around here, let me get us up on Instagram really quickly. I was putting in eye drops. Not that you need to know that, but that's why I might look a little glazed over today. It is not drug induced. It is not drinking induced. It is not hungover induced. It is simply eye drops at the last minute, which is probably a bad idea because I can't see so well. But the Giants blame game, that's where we are on this offense. The web gem, which we'll discuss very early in the show today. The Wade excuse, it's not what you think. And I did the Wade-o-meter, and then, of course, he gets hit by a pitch. But I've got kind of a theory on what they can do to actually use this as a positive. Replay last night, again, a problem with the solution of the bats, although I did find a couple in unusual places. Huff, again, I guess we got to talk about that again because the people who aggregate 49ers content, we already talked about him being traded for. It already happened, and then the actual thing happens, and then everybody has to go over it again. And it's like, anyway, okay. We'll do it. We'll play along. Durant to the Knicks is an interesting one. Barkley is gone in 2 years, he told Dan Patrick yesterday. That's really when Inside the NBA ends, not going over to ESPN. So we're going to have to do this dog and pony show again, apparently. Speaking of again, random things happen throughout the show, and I have two, count of two, sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose pistols. One's a video. One, I couldn't find a good enough video for, so I'll just explain it, and I'll be the news gatherer and give you that information. Quality, sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose pistol today, and I would advise you to stay to the end of the show. Now, if you're watching later on, of course, you can fast forward, do whatever you want, and do remember, if you are watching this show later or you want specific things on that chalkboard, and we go down the chalkboard mostly as it's written there, all you have to do, we put chapters up a little bit later, and then you can just click on those chapters later on in the show, only on YouTube where you subscribe on John Lund Unleashed. You hit that like button, please, which helps the algorithm, and keep those alerts on because yesterday we had like five or six pieces of content that we threw on after the show. So it's not just the show itself. There's all sorts of things that we throw. Depending on what we see during the day, we'll throw things up there, and you want to make sure to have those alerts on. Lund Loyalists get their content early, and then we kind of space it out through the day. But for Lund Loyalists, we just put it right up there for you, and you get it right away. That's one reason you should be a Lund Loyalist. Anyway, remember, if you want to get your comments, questions, thoughts on the air 100%, you can always hit us with the super, which is always appreciated to support the show. Always love that. I am on my second marriage, and I still have a son in college, so it really does help. Thank you very much. All right, what else do we have to get to today? Good morning, good morning, good morning. Let's say good morning to everybody, but remember, you're watching on LinkedIn, possibly the Bay Area Sports Collective. What's today? Tuesday, so Polymax Particles with Creative Tony. They will follow me at 11 o'clock. They're on Wednesday nights, but it is a Tuesday, so they're going to be on during the day. Tom Tolbert, of course, the Tom Tolbert Show, Jeremy Affelt. I was throwing some stuff up on Bay Area Sports Collective today, and Affelt's got a show coming up, the former Giant. Amy G is awesome. She is part of the Bay Area Sports Collective, as is Rod Brooks. So make sure that you subscribe to the Bay Area Sports Collective, and you'll be able to catch all of those shows in addition to John Lund Unleashed. Good morning to those watching on X at John Lund Radio and on Instagram at John Lund Radio. Consider coming over at some point. That would be very nice. And subscribing to the channel. We would love that if you would do that. And then let me throw one more thing up here before we get started and say good morning to everybody. As you can see, that pair of legs. So the B, it's starting to look like a NASCAR down there, I know. But the B on the left is the Bay Area Sports Collective. The pair of legs is my good friend, Dr. Jeffrey Riopel. And the great thing about Dr. Jeffrey Riopel, my wife's going in this week. She's having another, she's having an update, but the shoulder I've told you about, the elbow. And, you know, people think I'm lying about this, but it's the truth. We have a fridge in the garage, like everybody does. Got beers and sodas and whatever in it. Healthy drinks, of course. And then we've got this little square freezer because the freezer on the fridge is just not enough. I got a bunch of food in there. So I got sick and tired of all these contraptions and frozen things that she puts on herself and wraps. And I said, we got to get a freezer just for your stuff because it's gross. It's like on the food and stuff. And she's like, okay. So we do that. And she fills it up just with things that she can put on herself to make her feel better. And you know what? She doesn't need it anymore because Dr. Riopel, and he did the stem cell with her, and she's staying up to date on the stem cell. She feels amazing, better than she's felt in years. The elbow, the shoulder, I pointed to the shoulder and said elbow. The shoulder, the elbow, she can walk all the time now without having soreness in her feet. It's absolutely awesome. And it's all because of Dr. Riopel, who was one of the first in California to do stem cell treatments. I told you he did them on Bartolo Colon, and look how long he lasted. I'm not saying that there's a tie-in, but who knows? And then I do the low T. I've done low T for years, but low testosterone, it makes you tired and cranky and you're gaining weight and you're doing all these things. You're like, what's going on? It's just about getting a little bit older. And so what happens is I go in there every like 4 months, I take a quick blood test, and then we do a quick procedure and I'm good for 4 months. I don't have to go in weekly. You feel absolutely great. So see Dr. Riopel. And if you click right on there on that QR code, you're going to be able to go straight to the website and get an appointment. Now it's awesome. And there's no pressure or anything. Just check it out. And they not only do they do the procedures I talk about, but they do a ton of stuff for men, women, all sorts of things. So check out the website. And I'm sure there's something on there for you. And make sure that you tell Dr. Riopel that I sent you over. That would be key. Because he's like, Lund, does this stuff work? And I'm like, I'm telling you, it works just like your stuff works. So tell Dr. Riopel when you call. And they'll take extra good care of you, if you know what I mean. So click on that QR code right there. Or what you can do is you can simply go to the website. If you just look it up, your favorite search engine, Dr. Jeffrey Riopel. Riopel is R-I-O-P-E-L-L-E. Dr. Jeffrey Riopel is right there in San Ramon. And if you're not in the East Bay, worth the drive, I'm telling you. And he'll take care of you. So Dr. Jeffrey Riopel. All right. There we go. We're through everything. Good morning to everyone. Wow, what a great group we got today. Dom, our good friend, is here today. Christian, good morning. John, Candlestick Kid. I don't know if I've seen the Candlestick Kid, but that is awesome that you're in here. Yeah, the Giants are starting to piss us off. Let's get into that. JJ Raider, good morning. My God, I saw a picture of Ashton Jeanty. My God, that might be the biggest dude, not tallest dude, but biggest dude. Oh my God. The Nutter is here, which is always a great thing. John Joseph is here. Good morning. The 1420 is here. Very nice to see you, my friend. Joy, it is not a show without Joy here today. It is great to see her this morning. Who else? Man, we got a ton of people. Kyle is here. Good to see you this morning. Humboldt Fats is here this morning. Man, a lot of good people in here this morning. Good morning. Good morning, one and all. If I did not get to, believe me, I will at some point and say good morning to you. Let's see. Sorry, my putting the drops in was stupid. Oil is here today. Hello, Oil. Good to see you. I don't know if I've seen you before, but it's great to see you. Catalina, good morning. Good morning. Good morning to all. And thank you for making the time for John Lund Unleashed. I apologize that I was late today. Like I said, we might have to move this thing. Good morning, Danny, Kenny. We might have to move it to 9 just because I'm working with a group now and we're putting a lot of stuff together for the show. And it's just making it more time intensive, which is great. And it's making the show better, but it takes more time to get everything going and get everybody together. So we may have to push it to 9 unless people, like I said, are absolutely 100% against it. All right, let's get to this thing, man. Episode 156. It's time, I guess, as you can see right there. And I tried to illustrate it's the Giants blame game time and the ice cold bats and all those kind of things. Very fancy. All you have to say is 19 runs in 14 games. All you have to say is, did you see what Logan Webb did last night? He can't do anymore. The pitching staff can't do anymore. In May, they went 13-14. And the starting staff had a 277 and the relievers had a 243 ERA. They were as good as you could be. Randy Rodriguez comes in last night after Logan Webb was ass kicking last night. Randy Rodriguez comes in, you know, just good night. And, you know, Ryan Walker. And they just, every time the pen comes in, it seems like they're doing their job and hopefully they won't get burned out. And that's why Bob Melvin had to keep them on so late. But there were so many opportunities. I mean, I'm scrambling on my phone all night to just write down all the opportunities that they had. Let me just look at this. Look at this whole thing. I mean, my God, let me go. Let's see. NBA final, first and third. So first inning, first and third. Mike Yastrzemski, three of his last 38 come into the game, strikes out. They're out of the inning. Second inning comes around. Adames walk. Wade gets hit by a pitch. Bailey tries to bunt. He misses. They actually missed the call on that. I'll get to replay in a minute. Adames was actually out. Ramos hits him into a double play. Bases loaded, no out, no run. Second inning, on and on and on and on and on. I mean, that's just – and we're used to this because it seems to happen every single year. But then after the game, a bunch of – because I was putting out tweets and everything at John Lund Radio on X throughout the game, and people were hitting me up. Is it Pat Burrell's fault? Is it Bob Melvin's fault? Is it – you know, I have a philosophy, which I'm sure you know, but this crosses all sports. If you're new here, I have lots of philosophies on things, and I'm certainly not shy in letting you know what they are. But players play coaches coach. Do you think that Pat Burrell tells these guys to go up and kind of have the at-bats that they do, Bob Melvin, those kind of things? What generally happens when a team struggles to this level, but yeah, in layers it starts to happen. I got news for you, man. Bob Melvin's not going anywhere. Pat Burrell, on the other hand, if this continues to happen, and I like Pat Burrell, I've had him on the show many, many times, his hitting philosophies, he knows what he's talking about, and it doesn't have to do with anything of his career or anything like that. But at some point, they're just going to have to hear a different voice. That's what it comes down to, because it's not one guy. See, that's the problem. When you start staring at the pitching coach, and again, I like Pat Burrell, but you start staring at the pitching coach when everybody sucks. And right now, offensively, outside of Ramos, who was red hot coming into this, but then, of course, hits into a double play with the bases loaded. Outside of Ramos, I don't know that there's anybody in the lineup right now hitting over their head. So first base goes without saying. Fitzgerald's not bad at second, but he's still got a lack of power. He's only got two home runs. I thought he was going to be a guy that was going to hit 20. Adames, we know. Chapman's doing better, kind of Chapman things. We know about Bailey. Ramos is hitting fine. Jung-Hoo Lee, they've moved up in the order because Adames is so bad. So Lee's hitting second, and he's not an ideal second hitter, even though he makes really good contact. I'd like to see him get more walks. I think he has 15 walks on the year. So that's not ideal at the top of the order. You're a table setter, and I know he knocks in runs, and they had him hitting third, and he would be a better number three hitter. But Adames has to be dropped down in the lineup, so things aren't perfect. But my point is, as you go across this lineup, Mike Yastrzemski's starting to do what we thought Mike Yastrzemski would do. Three of his last 38 going into last night's game. He had opportunities to get hits. Encarnacion came on for him when the Padres made a pitching change. Encarnacion, you could see last night, it was just a desperate move by the Giants. He's not ready to be here. He didn't have enough rehab time. His last at-bat where he lined out to first base to end the game, that was, you know, he hit the ball hard in that at-bat. But his first couple of bats were just like, this dude ain't ready. He doesn't have the timing down. But the Giants are so desperate for a bat that they had to put him in there and see what he could do. So they take Yastrzemski out against a lefty. They put in Encarnacion, and especially the first at-bat was horrendous. So that's where they're at. They're at just grasping at straws. So you get to a point in this season, and I don't think they're there yet because they're still above 500. They're still fighting for the wild card. But again, if I'm the Giants brass and I'm up at top, I'm saying, wait a minute. We've got great starting pitching. Some of the best in baseball, a really good staff that's going to be better. I think the staff is actually going to get better. But you look at last night, this game is a perfect perfect symbolism for what they've been going through. You got a guy that gives you eight. I mean, what do you want him to do? He gives up nothing last night, nothing. And you have opportunities all night long. Lionel Richie, all night long. Sorry. Didn't need to do that. You have opportunities all night long, and you cannot get a key hit. And if it's one or two guys struggling, then you're going, okay. But if your whole roster outside of Ramos really is the only one hitting to his potential or above it, then you got to start thinking to yourself, okay, then it must be a different voice that's being needed. One or two guys, I get it. And again, Jung-Hoo Lee's not doing bad. So maybe your left fielder, your center fielder are hitting above or at where they should be hitting at. But your right fielder's not, your first baseman's not, your second baseman's not, your shortstop sure as hell is not, your big signing. Your third baseman is, that's what he does, up and down. And your catcher sure as hell isn't either. So what that starts to tell you is maybe a different voice is needed in that room. That's just what, look, I like Pat Burrell, and I'm not a guy who's going to be like, fly off the handle. But when you have pitching this good, and I said it yesterday and I'll say it again, you can't waste it. Bullpens from year to year, you just don't know. You don't know if it's going to be great. Why Rocker's saying he's having mental problems. Do those continue? Like all these, Duvall was terrible at the end of last year, good this year. It's just relievers are almost like kickers. They're just mentally weird, man. Sometimes they have it, sometimes they don't. I mean, you have consistent ones. Man, give Tyler Rogers a ton of credit. He's from a guy that you're going, how can this happen? He's just really good. Randy Rodriguez, maybe he's on the upswing. Maybe this is just a weird year for him and he's just being great this year. I don't know. But you can't waste pitching like this. Logan Webb's getting into his late 20s. Pretty soon it's going to be like, how long can he keep going 7-8 innings? How much longer can he anchor a staff in which you go, please, 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 Logan, you got to give us 7. We got to rest our pen. Like, that's where he is. He's in the prime of his career. Robbie Ray is, on the downside maybe a little bit, but he is peaking this year. I think that Birdsong is a number 3, can be one of the better number 3 starters in the game. He's got that kind of stuff, and he's just got this mellow mentality that nothing is too big for him. Verlander at 42 can be a 4 starter and consistent, and near 5's your 5, but they have depth in the starting rotation. They have the best bullpen in baseball. You can't waste it, and it's not early anymore, and you can't sit around because the wild card is getting better around you. Milwaukee won again last night. They've won 8 in a row. What are you doing? What are you going to do about it? So the Giants blame game for right now, Bob Melvin's not going anywhere. My general philosophy on this kind of stuff, players play, coaches coach. So to me, it's on the players. Is it 100% on the players? No, they could probably use a new voice. And I know what everybody's going to scream, Barry Bonds, Barry Bonds. Barry doesn't want to do that. Barry Bonds wants to go around the cage, talk to a few guys, take him aside, those kind of things. He already tried to be a hitting coach in Miami with the Marlins. He doesn't want the everyday grind of hitting coach, hitting coach, hitting coach. That's a grind job, going over film with guys, that kind of stuff. That's not Barry Bonds, man. He's royalty. Barry Bonds is royalty. He's not grinding in a cage with someone. He's not going over film with someone. He might take a guy aside. He's going to go to the batting cage casually wearing, the clothes he wants to wear and come hang out and talk to guys and BS a little bit and say, hey, I'm seeing something here. What about this or that? Like he can be that. He can consult. But they may need, if this continues, because it's embarrassing and the pitching is so good, they may need to just get a different voice in there. Not that it's necessarily the fault of Pat Burrell. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what he's saying. I do know. I have talked philosophies with him. I have had him on numerous shows many, many times. He seems to have the type of mentality for it. He's a grinder. He was part of their – he was a minor league roving instructor. I mean, the guy has earned it. But sometimes, and actually ironically enough, and I've told you this story before, I remember it from Mike Dunleavy Sr. I was covering the Trailblazers, the Jailblazers at the time, Rasheed Wallace, Bonzi Wells, Damon Stoudemire, even Scottie Pippen, Steve Smith, like that whole group. And they were just a mismatched team. And we were going to practice one day, was on the beat, and we go to practice and we're standing there waiting for everything to start. We might've been 10 or 15 minutes early. And Dunleavy turns to maybe 3 or 4 of us who were there a little bit early and said, hey, I'm getting fired today. And we were like, what? He's like, yeah, I'm getting fired today. And the reason why is essentially they've heard every rah-rah speech I've got. The happy speech, the pissed off speech that we got to get, he went through a bunch, the win one for the Gipper, all this different stuff. He's like, look, they've heard every speech I got, man. It's just time for a different voice. And he had been there maybe, 6 or 8 years. He'd been there a long time. And largely the same group of guys. I mean, a few guys got brought in, a few veteran guys or whatever, but they were a really good team and a lot was expected of them. And Bob Whitsitt, if you remember, was their general manager. They called him a Trader Bob. And, he had put together a cast of all-stars or had been all-stars and up-and-coming players. And a lot of people thought that they were a team that was, going to go places. They lost to the Lakers famously in the fourth quarter of the conference finals. I can't remember even the year now, early 2000s. And that was on the way to Shaq and Kobe's first championship. And they had done a lot of different things to try to stop Shaq, and they just didn't happen. But he turned around and basically just said, yeah, they're going to let me go. And it's just, they've heard every speech. They've heard everything. They've heard, you know. They could recite my speeches back to me. I've been here a long time. So it's just time. And he was cool about it, whatever. But, I mean, that might be where they are on Burl, because if one guy or two guys are struggling, okay, I get it. But if your whole team outside of a couple of guys are hitting below what they should be or hitting less than what they should be hitting, which is what we have here with the Giants, and all the guys are struggling, then to me, it's time for a different voice. Not that that person might even be better, worse, indifferent, whatever the case may be, but it's time for a different voice. So if you're going to play the Giants blame game, to me, first and foremost, it's on the players. It just is. That's just how sports works. It's on the players. It's not on a coach. And I know how fans work. I don't want to blame this guy. I have his jersey. I really like that guy. Great. He sucks. All right. So that's who it's on first. It's on Willie Adames. It's on Lamont Wade Jr. You know, it's on, you know, now Mike Yastrzemski, who was off to a great start. It's on Patrick Bailey. Great defense. Caught him. That's why he's playing. Catches a, you know, throws out a base stealer yesterday. He's blocking balls. He's framing stuff. Like Bailey, he's too good to bench. So you got to get better hitters around him. He's hitting 176 or something like that. I did that whole thing on Lamont Wade Jr. He hasn't hit 200 this year. The highest Lamont Wade Jr. has been is 174. I mean, it's brutal, just brutal. So it's on those guys first and foremost, right? Then there's a gap, and then it's just because you can't fire all these guys, coaches get fired. And so Pat Burl is a voice that may be stagnant, and the players may need another voice to come in there. Now, like I said, if you just joined us, it's not going to be Barry Bonds, because he's not going to grind on that. But whoever it is that is next, it might be their turn. So that's where my thoughts are as far as the Giants blame game is concerned. Give me your thoughts on that as well. And again, anytime you want to hit me up, if you're watching the show later, hit me up on the comments underneath at John Lund Radio on X is a good place to catch me as well. But if you're playing the blame game, go tell me who. Tell me who it's going to be. I know that Melvin's in the crosshairs. Pat Burl is. Players should be first and foremost. But give me your thoughts on what you think as far as that goes. As far as Logan Webb is concerned, and we're just going down the chalkboard here, Giants blame game one, Logan Webb and the Webb gem last night. I don't know what else he can do. And he said afterwards, you know, we've been lower and things have been worse and this. And that. He's just being nice. Because 14 runs in 19 games. And I know when they close the door, and you know, it's not about blaming, because you know what, the offense at times has bailed out the pitching or the defense or whatever. So I get it. But right now, when you've scored, it's a decent sample size, 14 runs in 19 games. Now they're not going to close the door and go, give us some damn runs. What are you doing? Like, what is that going to help? It's going to help nothing. All right. So you got to stay unified. You're going to be in this clubhouse together and in a clubhouse together. You know, what are we in, June 3rd? So, boys, whether you like it or not, you're going to be there till, you know, early September. So you still got a few months to go here. So they're not going to blow up. They're not going to do those kind of things. But if you're the offense, you got to get together and say, boys, what's going on here, man? Like, I can't buy the excuse Willie Adames is putting too much pressure on himself. I don't give a shit. Like, you signed the contract, man. You've got a track record of work here. Get it out of your head. I don't know who their sports psychologist is, but let's go, man. It's not early anymore. It's not funny. Like, it's April, it's May, they gave you all this money. A guy finally signed in San Francisco. You want to play a blame game? Willie Adames leads it for me. Lamont Wade Jr., I didn't expect a lot out of Lamont Wade Jr. The best he can do is get on base a lot. He's not even doing that. He's not a power player. He's never going to knock in a bunch of runs. I mean, it's, you know, it's terrible and it's horrible, and he's hitting 167, and I'm not wishing injury on the guy, but I'm not really upset. It's like, he sucks. He was never great. But Willie Adames, man, finally somebody took the money. We got excited about it. Now the guy's shit in the bed. It's like, bro, let's go. And here's the thing, too, about Willie Adames. If you go look at his splits, he's worse on the road. It's not like he's bad in both. But, I mean, it's the psychology of him is not like, oh, my God, I'm hitting in this park. Nobody can hit in this park. He's hitting worse on the road. Like, what's going on? They've dropped you in the order, dude. Like, they've taken the pressure. Okay, you're not hitting two where the best hitter in the lineup hits nowadays. Like, you're down in the order. Like, relax. Let's go. And then he really got picked off second base last night. Terrible base running error. I will give him a credit. Picked one off the, did a wizardry kind of like, I hope I get this. And made a, you know, nice dig out on the other end by Casey Schmidt. You know, so he made a nice defensive play last night. But they're paying you a lot of money. And hitters don't generally come here. And what that's going to do for other hitters saying, well, Willie Adames, God, he was a 30 home run guy in Milwaukee, knocked in 112 runs last year. He can't do anything in San Francisco. I'm not going there. It's not the ballpark. It's Willie Adames. It's not you. It's not me. It's you, whatever. It's not the ballpark with Willie Adames. His road splits are worse. He's just, I don't doubt Bob Melvin when he said last week, yeah, he's just putting, or Buster Posey, when he said last week, he's just putting pressure on himself. Whatever the excuse is, I don't care. Dude, you were brought here to be the best hitter on the team, and you're a liability. I mean, look, Tyler Fitzgerald was better at shortstop than you last year, and they spent all this money and went all in, and we said it at the time. He was their number one target. With a bullet, they were just like, we got to get this guy. We got to shore up shortstop. They finally get a guy, and he can't hit? And it's not even the ballpark that's making him worse. So, and he's gone downhill. Remember, in the home opener, Willie Adames had a game-winning hit. And we thought, all right, here we go. And now the guy's dropped in the order. What's he hitting, 5 or 6 or something like that? My wage hitting 7. Oh, my God. It was last night. Anyway, so look, for their offensive woes, you can put it on Burrell. You can put it on Melvin. You can put it on Lamont Wade, who's been terrible. Clearly, the one leading the shit charge here is Willie Adames. He's not getting it done. And that's where it starts. If Willie Adames was doing his job, others would be better around him. Damn, like we get Willie Adames. You know, Jung-Hoo Lee was hitting behind him. If Willie Adames was hitting, they're like, well, we got to pitch, you know, got to pitch carefully. You got to, you know, whatever. He makes the rest of the lineup better. That's what great bats do, is they're not only great for themselves, but then the rest of the order is better because of that hitter, and he's not doing his job. He's not earning his paycheck. That's where I would start. The Wade excuse is not what it seems like. What I mean by the Wade excuse is, and here's an update on it. This is Alex Pavlovich last night. So you can see there, and you can read, X-ray on Wade's hand negative. He's day-to-day contusion, blah, 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 blah. Here's how I would play that. Speaking of a different voice, it's just time. It's with Lamont Wade Jr., and I, you know, whether it's a bad injury, whether it's not, I hope it's not. I'm not wishing for that, even though he's hitting 167. He's 24 for 144. His high water mark was April 4th, hitting 174. He's a zero at the plate. I'd rather have Madison Bumgarner up there. Hell, I'd rather have Buster Posey take off his suit and be up there. I mean, it'd be better. Wouldn't be worse. Couldn't be worse, maybe, but doubt it. But what I would do if I were the Giants is I would take this bruise as an excuse. As really a lightning bolt from God to say, look, let's sit down. Let's call this a minor league rehab. We won't, you know, egg on your face. I know you don't have any options left, but dude, you're hitting 167. So for the sake, and your at bats are terrible. So for the sake of the team, why don't we call this just, you know, maybe a worse contusion than it actually is. Let's get you down to SAC or go back to Arizona or whatever the case may be. We put you on the injured list for, you know, 10, 12 days, whatever the case may be, retroactive to whatever. And why don't you go down there and chill for a minute, man? You know, get in the cage, swing some bats, talk to a couple of different voices, see what other people see. Like, you know, obviously Pat Burrell hasn't figured out what the issue is. You haven't figured out whatever, who's ever talking to you up here. It's not working. You know, we're more than a third of the way into the season. So you almost have 150 at bats here. Let's just go take a look at this. This is actually a good excuse. You're not gonna have egg on your face or anything, which you do every time you take the plate. But you know, let's just chill out for a minute. All right, let's go to Arizona and let's go back to basics and let's go figure this out. What the hell's going on? Because you're a good player. You know, you're a decent player. Let's put it this way. You're better than this. All right, you're better than this. So just a different set of eyes, a different voice in his ear, relax a little bit. I'm sure every time he goes up to the plate, he's pressing, you know, anytime in life. And you can relate certain things to life. And, you know, if you've had a couple of things, you're not closing deals if you're a sales guy or whatever the case may be, or, you know, I have a couple of bad shows or whatever the case, whatever it is, which never would happen, of course. But, you know, all these different things happen. It's just like, hey, man, you just need a minute. That's what like vacations are for example. We all go on vacation or we need a weekend or we go golfing or whatever our Happy Gilmore's coming out. Go to your happy place, man. Find it. Well, it's not on a baseball field. It's not in a batter's box right now for Lamont Wade Jr. So go somewhere where you can find it, because you're not finding it here. And they're banging their head against the wall with Lamont Wade Jr. And, you know, Buster Posey can say all those things he's going to say. Encarnacion is going to try. And Schmidt's going to try. And look, he was your number one option. It might be too early to trade, which I'm going to get into in a second. But use this hand contusion, this bruise, fancy word for a bruise, to just say, yeah, that's a little worse. We're going to give him a little bit of time. And just go and rehab. Rehab your mind. Rehab your swing. Just go. Because they're not losing anything right now. I mean, they're trying Casey Schmidt, who had a nice dig last night, but he still hasn't hit at this level. Encarnacion, that's great. He's a big guy. He's got, you know, power kind of stuff. And that's great. That's wonderful. But he's not going to be the answer, because then you got to put Wilmer at first base a little bit more. And I want Wilmer DH, and I don't want to get out of his comfort zone and try to play him at first base too much. So to me, that's the answer. Oh, we got a bruise. Let's use this. Let's use this bruise. All right. So that's what I mean by weight excuse. Let's just use this as an excuse to try to get better. So that's one thing from last night. Let me flip replay and problem with solution, because problem with solution is this. All right, let me show you something here. Everybody's like, trade for somebody, 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 trade for somebody. You get the idea. These are the standings right now. These are their overall standings top to bottom. So Detroit, 40-21. Wow. And the Mets, who'd have thought that? The top three teams in baseball are the Tigers, the Mets, and the Cubs. Who'd have thought that? Nobody. But we're more concentrated on the bottom, right? Well, we're concentrated on where the Giants are, which is in the middle now, 33-27. That great start. These are the teams starting with the Marlins, because if you're around 500 at this point, you're not trading people unless it's just a ridiculous deal in your favor. So from the Angels on up, teams aren't trading, right? They're just too close. Like the Nationals, I don't think they're going to do anything, but they're 28-31. They're not trading. Diamondbacks clearly aren't trading. Reds aren't trading. Texas isn't trading, like, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? Teams here are trading. Colorado, the White Sox, the Pirates, the A's, the Orioles, the Marlins. That's it. And maybe not even the Orioles, because they've got so much talent, but they would listen. They should listen. I mean, look at them. They're 22-36. So from the Marlins down. So the teams that you could pick off their roster right now, and you'd have to overpay because it's so early in the trade process, are the Marlins, the Orioles, the A's, the Pirates, the White Sox, and the Rockies. That's it. Because of the third wild card, anybody hovering around 500, they are not trading with you. And that's everyone from the Angels five under to the, let's go up. That's 10 over. That's too far. So like the Mariners are 6 over. So there's 11 game difference between where the Mariners are 6 over and Oh, there we go. The Angels are 5 under. So that's a big bunch of teams. Look at all those teams in there. All right. There's a big bunch of teams. So there's only these teams at the bottom that are willing to say, okay, I'll listen. We suck. We're already out of this thing. So let me pop the board back on so you can stay with me here. All right. So I scribbled this stuff down. I may need glasses for this, but I scribbled this down. So from the bottom to the top. All right. All right. Colorado's at the bottom of that whole thing. Ryan McMahon's decent. 6 home runs, 17 RBIs. He's hitting .208 with a .672. And he's got a decent-sized contract. Ryan McMahon's not an option for me. Andrew Vaughn. Hey, let's bring the Cal star home. He was a top-five pick by the White Sox. Plays first base. Perfect. Andrew Vaughn right now. 5 home runs, 20 RBIs. Andrew Vaughn right now is hitting .177 with a .553 OPS. That's Andrew Vaughn. That's worse than what they have now. Luis Robert. Oh, man, that makes a lot of sense. Maybe Luis Robert could play right field, man. That guy can mash. I've seen that guy really, really good, right? Luis Robert. 5 home runs, 19 RBIs, hitting .189 with a .531 OPS. That's Luis Robert. Just tanking for the White Sox, right? Maybe a change of scenery. Could be. Bring Brian Reynolds home, right? He was in the Andrew McCutchen trade. Not bad. 7 home runs, 38 RBIs, hitting .238 with a .686 OPS. Not great. Big contract. Not going to happen. By the way, for those clamoring for Joey Bart, home run, 11 RBIs, hitting .240 with a .655 OPS. Better than Patrick Bailey? Yes. Hitting great? No. Bailey's too good defensively. He's still better. Now, here's a couple of names that are interesting, and the Giants have been interested before. I don't know if the A's would trade with the Giants. Brent Rooker is not having a season maybe up to his par, but 12 home runs, 32 RBIs, .266 with an .812 OPS. Just signed a new contract. It's not ridiculous. Could you put Brent Rooker in right? Make Mike Yastrzemski a fourth outfielder idea. Andujar, of course, who was with the Yankees a while back, he's injured right now, but he's got 3 homers, 20 RBIs, hitting .296, .730 OPS. He's okay. You could stick him in right, I guess. You could play him. He's playing at third when he's healthy with the A's, but he's played the outfield. these are the ones that get interesting to me. And these are only the teams that would trade right now. They're out of it. I just showed you on the board. Ryan Mountcastle of the Orioles is not having a good year. And there's a reason why, by the way, these teams suck, because some of these guys should be better. Ryan Mountcastle, two home runs, 15 RBIs, hitting 246 with a 628. Doesn't really make you excited. But in 2024, he was 13 home runs, 63 RBIs, hit 271 with a 733. Again, not great. But in 2021, this was a guy who had 33 home runs. So would Mountcastle be a guy that you'd go, hey, take a chance on him? If the Orioles would give you a deal at this point, maybe that's something. Ryan O'Hearn, who is someone I didn't even know, is playing right field for the Orioles. And he's 31 years old, 9 home runs, 22 RBIs, hitting 329. And he's a left-handed stick. So again, he's better than Yastrzemski. You got Yastrzemski from the Orioles, by the way. And go back to them. Ryan O'Hearn, 31 years old, 9 homers, 22 RBIs, hitting 329. He's a left-handed stick. He's got a 952 OPS. Now, are the Orioles going to give up on him? Not so much. Are you going to have to overpay for Ryan O'Hearn? Yeah, you probably are. But he's not a long-term guy with the Orioles. He's kind of a journeyman type, just having a hell of a year. And then there's a guy named Kyle Stowers, who's with Miami. 27-year-old guy, again, kind of a journeyman type, but having a hell of a year. 10 homers, 32 RBIs, with an 837 OPS. So, look, I'm not saying there's a great list there. I'm not saying that any of those guys are going to save the Giants season. But those are guys who can play first or outfield in some respect and are on bad teams. And like I said, I scoured this whole thing, and I'll show it to you one more time before we get out of here. And it says, problem with the solution is where we are on the screen. And so, again, let me go back to standings really, really quickly. From the Marlins down, that's what you have to choose from. There's a reason those teams suck ass, because players aren't playing up to potential. So O'Hearn and Mountcastle and Stowers, I mean, those are your guys. Could they get Brent Rooker? You know, do you want Brian Reynolds? But that's a big contract. So these are the bad teams. All right, anything from the Angels up, they're just not trading. Nope, they're not trading Mike Trout, even though he's hurt a lot, and I wouldn't even want him anyway. But Atlanta, the Red Sox, the Nationals have a couple of interesting guys. They're not trading. Diamondbacks aren't trading in division. They're not done. Reds don't think they're done. You know, all those kind of things. The Rangers will give you Marcus Semien. He's horrid, and he's got a massive contract. The Rays are always an interesting team, but they're over 500, but they listen. They always do. They're always trying to make their team better. Milwaukee was the team that I was like, whoa, maybe they could get, you know, Reese Hoskins. They've won 8 in a row, and so they're not doing anything with you. So, and then you get to the Giants, and anything around the Giants, like, you know, they're in it. They're not going anywhere. So that's it. That's where you have to choose from. So it's not great at this particular point, and I've told you this again and again. They're going to, as much as they can, stay within the organization and say, okay, what do we have here? But I think we know. Encarnacion, I don't believe, is going to be the answer. Now you're getting less production in right field, so that's really glaring at first base, because you're getting no production at first base. Because of his defensive abilities, you're not going anywhere with Patrick Bailey. Adamas isn't going anywhere. Chapman's not going anywhere. It's not really the fault of your second baseman. Just because he hasn't shown his power. Fitzgerald hasn't shown his power. But that's an issue. Center field set, left field set. So really, you're looking at first base and right field. So if you can get an outfielder, if you can get a first baseman, and at some point we're getting to the desperation level. Now, part of what I'm saying here is when you are going to exhaust everything within your organization, so that not only means players. So, okay, Lamont Wade Jr., he's got a contusion. Let's go get a different voice in his head. That's what I would do. They're going to try different versions. Casey Schmidt, could he get hot? He never has at the major league level. They're going to try everybody they can at first base. Luciano is playing first base at AAA. That's how desperate they're becoming. So they're going to do everything they can. If this continues, Pat Burrell is probably going to lose his job, because it's like, okay, we need a different voice. Everyone's struggling. Not one or two guys. Everyone's struggling. So then Pat Burrell loses his job. Okay, at that point, we are, what, halfway into the season, and you're going like this because you can't continue to score runs 14 in 19 games, and your pitching staff's like, really? Like last night, Logan Webb, you know, said to the media all the nice things. But I bet when they closed the doors, he might have said in a less nice way, like, what the fuck, man? What is this? Let's go. What do you want me to do? Like, somebody needs to say something like, it's okay. Everything's great. Look, we're at 14 games, not 2, not 5, not 10. Like, they're getting to the point where it's like, what are we doing? What are we doing here? pitching's like over on this side of the clubhouse going, ain't us. I mean, that's going to happen at some point. So anyway, there you go. There is my Giants diatribe for the day. Episode 156, Giants blame game. Web gem last night. Wade excuse. Got that hand contusion. Use that to go get rehabbed somewhere, even though it's not even a bad injury, but just publicly like, he's going out. You know, he's going to go to Arizona. Yeah, he's got to rehab that thing. All right. Rehab your mental side. Problem with the solution. And as I said, problem with the solution means there's six teams in Major League Baseball to choose from off those rosters. And those are horrendous teams. Those kind of don't match up. Really bad team. Let me get that guy off their roster. Now, there are a few guys from each roster. It's just, like I said, I think it's the Ryan Mountcastles and the Ryan and O'Hearns and the Kyle Stowers of the world that they're going to be looking at right away. Like, because if you're going for a big bat, like, okay, let's swing for the fences here, even though Bryce Eldridge, and look, they might even go to Bryce Eldridge before they go outside the organization. Just go to hell with it. He can DH. He's not a really good defensive first baseman, but we're in desperation mode because we're getting there. We're getting close to it. So anyway, and problem with the solution. So I skipped over replay. Before I get to replay, because it's not a really hard right turn, but let me see what everybody's saying about it. Rooker would be their guy. Look, I'm not anti-Rooker. It's just, what are the A's going to ask for Rooker? They're not a dumb front office. You want Brent Rooker, the guy last year who was awesome? This year he's been good. Last year he was awesome. It's going to cost a lot. But I said this yesterday on the show when I said trade is imminent. All right. Well, the A's have a lot of nice young hitters on their team. Nice young hitters. Soderstrom is nice. Kurtz is nice. Jacob Wilson is out of this world. They've got a lot of nice young bats. They don't have the kind of pitching. Kyle Harrison to Sacramento. I know you hate that, but that's what it's going to take to get a Rooker right now. Like, you wait to the end of July when you might be tumbling out of this thing. You could probably get Rooker for less. But right now, it's like, okay, well, Kyle Harrison, that's who we want. Birdsong to me, and you know my philosophy on, off-limits players, it better be Steph Curry, not Brandon Podziemski. But, Kyle Harrison, to me, is not off-limits. Hayden Birdsong's damn close. So if I'm the A's, look, the A's have sticks for the future, for their long stay in Sacramento, because I don't think they'll make the Vegas, but we'll see. But they've got sticks. They don't have the pitching to back it up. So if I'm the A's, if I'm David Forrest, I'm like, okay, I'll talk to you about Rooker. Let's start with Kyle Harrison. I mean, that's what I would do. I mean, they have a clear need for pitching. You have a clear need for hitting. That matches up. So anyway, what else? Anybody else? Thoughts, questions, comments? Hello, Papa J. Thank you, as always, for saying like and subscribe to both channels. It is great to see you this morning. There you go. Like and subscribe to John Lund Unleashed and the Bay Area Sports Collective. Yeah, I would agree with you 100% on that. Yeah. It was like, what is it, Jobu? Do not like curveball. Yeah, he does not like curveball. All right, let's do this. So last night, and this was in the favor of the Giants, so it's not like you're going to get angry over this, but I'm going to play the Padres version of this. And you know my thoughts on replay. First of all, as I'm watching the game last night, and, sports is so concerned about the consumer. I don't mean that from a price standpoint. I mean from watching at home, because that's what the majority of people do. So they want to make the experience for you aesthetically pleasing as possible. They want to make it quick. They want to take away, like kickoffs and this, and like anything that is not part of the action. Sports, professional sports especially, wants to eliminate. They want to quicken the game, right? There's only 15 seconds. Get in the box. Like Casey Schmidt last night got a strike against him. Oh, you didn't make eye contact with the pitcher in 8 seconds. But they have no problem taking 10 minutes for a replay. And I'm an advocate of this. I've said it the whole time. I've said it for years. Said it on the radio, said it here, said it everywhere, said it to friends, sat at a bar, said it. They're like, we know. If you can't get it done in 60 seconds on a replay, call stands. There's two things I would change. If something's replayed, then I don't care what it was called on the field, the ice, the court, whatever. It's in question. So I'm looking at it objectively. That would be my first change. There's no, okay, well, they called it this way on the field, so that's what the lean is. Why the hell is that? We're looking at it again. So look at it objectively. Don't look at it a way that is skewed. Well, they called it this way. I don't give a shit. It's clearly up for debate. So you look at it as if there is no call on the field, on the court, on the ice. No, it's complete objectivity. first. Okay, that's what you do. And then secondly, if it can't be reversed or can't be called in 60 seconds, then the play stands. But the thing is, if you that goes away if you have pure objectivity, and it really makes it easier to make the call. Because if I'm skewed one way, then I've got to go all the way to the – I got to knock out the champ, so to speak. I got to go all the way to this side. How about you just keep it down the middle, and however the call is, and it's got to be done in 60 seconds. And I'll play this for you. They kept showing the replay center. You got 19,000 screens there. They're gigantic. You got all these guys scrambling around. It was the only game that late at night. Like, there's one game. And it took I cut a bunch of this stuff out. This took like 5 minutes. And I'm sitting there, and again, as a sport that is going, we got to quicken this up. We got to speed it up, man. Hurry up, get the box, swing the bat, swing the bat, swing the bat. Let's go, 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 go. Get people home, rip them off, get them out of there in 2 hours, drink all the beers, vacuum all their money out, and get them out of here, right? We got to move, we got to move, we got to move, we got to move. And then we have this. And then not only do we have the delay, all right, in New York, and I've seen the play 15 times. I'm not even kidding you. Last night on the pickoff to Willie Adames, which I'm about ready to show you, I saw the play 15 times, and they kept going, well, yeah. Same thing with Jung-Hoo Lee. Jung-Hoo Lee avoided the tag. You could see it from the back angle. He avoided the front angle, sorry. He avoided the tag, and he kept his foot in the bag. He's safe. Took 2 seconds. I saw it. The second time I saw it, I knew it. These guys are making split-second decisions, and are right most of the time. In a split second, they're doing that. And you're telling me then it takes 5 minutes? And what you're doing is what the problem is, part of the length of time is you're undoing, if it's reversed, you're undoing one call. Just look at it objectively. It's in question. So I don't care how it was called on the field. Just let's get it right. And it's a lot faster if you say, okay, we're not undoing a call. We're not untying it and then retying it. We're just saying this is what we see. And it can be done in 60 seconds if someone can do it in a split second most of the time, like 99% of the time. It's like, okay, we did that call in a split second, and it was right or wrong. And clearly, because nobody challenged, it was right. But now we got to go, whether it's an NBA game, and now it breaks all the momentum, and everyone gets a rest, and everyone gets water, and the crowd was going crazy, and now the road team gets a free timeout, gets to sit there for 3 or 4 minutes and plot out the rest of the game. That's not fair. Do it in 60 seconds or whatever was said on the field stands. That's the way it should be. It was ridiculous. So anyway, they do all that time, and then they get it wrong.
Xander keeps the tag on his chest. He is out.
Yeah, pretty straightforward. Great eye and a great look from center field here in San Francisco.
Look at all those TVs. Like, you got it.
Let's see what Mr.
Look at all those videos.
After review, the call on the field stands. The runner is safe.
Wow, Dave, you got to be kidding me.
Wow, wow, wow.
That is, how can that be?
All right, so they go on and rant. One of the things is that you can tell why he's out. Willie Adames is holding his helmet in his hand. He's at the shortstop position. He's walking back to the dugout, and they call him safe. His foot comes off the bag, and the tag stayed on him. I don't know how, and that took like, it didn't take 5 minutes. It took like 3 or 4 minutes. How do you miss it? Like, the minute the foot comes off the bag and the tag's on, he's out. Like, I know this is an anti-Giants, but what I'm saying is that replay drives me through a wall, and if you watch the show on any regular occasion, I don't know, with today's technology and the type of things we can do and the AI and all this kind of stuff, just have a damn AI robot look at it. You know, whatever you want to call it, you know. Hey, AI ump, out or safe? Safe. Like, there you go. I mean, it's that simple. I'm not for, you know, I am for robot umps. I am for AI umpires. I am for, like, we have all this technology, and it's not that hard. And I am a fan of, look, it's human beings. We don't have to, like, drill down to the intricate level to see if that ball was touched before it got out of bounds. That really wasn't the intent of replay anyway. It was to fix the egregious errors. That's what it was. But it wasn't to drill down for 5 minutes, let us sit in our seats or sit at home or whatever the case may be in a game that is trying to speed itself up and constantly in turbo mode, get in the box, swing the bat, let's move, 2 hours, anything over 2 hours, you know, 2 hours and 15 minutes, let's get the hell out of here. And then we sit around for 5 minutes to watch a replay that then gets it wrong in today's technology. It's one of my peeves. It drives me crazy. It drives me crazy. Because if that kind of a call, and I know you're like, it was pro Giants. I get it. But let's say you're in a playoff game and this is a huge play, and some jackass in New York who's drinking beers while he's watching this, which is the only explanation for that being wrong, says, no. It's like, what? So we're in this AI technology in which a guy who's been dead for years can be the voice of the NBA on NBC, but we can't get it right in, I don't know, 10 seconds. Like, that call should have been reversed in 30 seconds max. Oh, his foot came off the bag. The tag was on him. Out. And why do I have to go back to New York? I'm the umpire running the game. It's kind of like the, you know, the NFL, and they go back to New York anyway. But let me just, okay, slow it down. Give me four or five angles. Like, the fact that we're watching the game last night and Dwayne has to say, I don't know if they have that angle in New York, because sometimes they don't. Like, sometimes the local angles are actually better. It's like, how is that possible in a game that's billions of dollars? Okay, I'm done with that. Just done. I don't mean to get so angry about this stuff. It's sports. And I get so mad about replay. And I get so mad about it because it's in every sport. You know, it takes the momentum away in a playoff game. And watch, when the finals finally freaking start on Thursday, my God, NBA, talk about killing momentum. But when they finally start on Thursday between the smallest market NBA finals we've ever seen, that'll happen. And then we'll sit here for 5 minutes and the road team gets a rest and the crowd is out of the game and momentum stops, which is a part of the game. So if you can't get it right in 60 seconds, let's get back to the game. Because you're giving an unfair advantage. Do they not see that? Like, every time they change a rule in sports, whether it be the NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, I go, the first change should be the replay system has to be faster. Faster. And if it can't get overturned in 60 seconds, then it stays and we go. That's it. There's a buzzer on it. Can you imagine? It's, you know, the crowd's 5, 4, 3. And the ref is scrambling to the microphone. A reversal. Okay. All right. Good. Let's go. Put some urgency on this thing, man. We're all sitting around waiting for you. Like, let's go. All right. Sorry. All right, episode 156, John Lund Unleashed. Thanks for joining us on YouTube and the Bay Area Sports Collective. Also watching on X at John Lund Radio. And, of course, you're watching on Instagram as well. We appreciate it. Good to see you. Lots of good people in the chat room. Please consider coming on over. Lynn Bird is here today. I just saw you in the J49. It is great to see you this morning. Jacob, good to see you. Lots of people jumping in. Jazz Fan is here. Dirty Hungus is here. Very good to see you, my friend. Good to see everybody this morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning. On this Tuesday, we are episode 156, Giants Blame Game. Web Jim, Wade excuse, which is that bruise. Use that an excuse to go rehab mentally, go down, listen to a different voice. Replay, I just ranted for far too long. Problem with the solution, there is only six teams out of it so far in Major League Baseball, and you've got to deal with like the Marlins, the Pirates, the Rockies. Best of luck. I did give you a few names on that. You can go back, or if you're watching later, I gave you the names, which could be people or players that could be obtainable now, and you wouldn't have to wait till the deadline. So we are at Huff again, which is Bryce Huff, the newly acquired third down rush specialist for the 49ers, which we've talked about when there was rumors. We talked about when it was done. We talked about it now that it's actually done. So those who are 49ers news aggregators can get like 5 days out of this whole thing. So there you go. That is the official announcement that came in my email from the 49ers. So there you go. Pass the physical, 6350, 255, blah, 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 blah. There you go. If you looked at 24, 12 games, 6 starts, 13 tackles, 3 to 2.5 sacks, 1 forced fumble. Not good. Everybody is going back to 2023 with the Giants, and that's fine. Or excuse me, with the Jets, and that's fine. He played with Sala, played in a different defense, made the Jets as an undrafted free agent in 2020, had 10 sacks that year in 2023 with a pressure rate which led the NFL of 21.8%. I have played videos of him before. He is purely a speed edge rusher, which is not a problem, which is actually good in the wide nine because you're coming out wide and all of a sudden you're just jetting into the quarterback. And with Chris Kucerich having his hair on fire, Bryce Huff, I think, is a great fit. And we talk all the time about fit. Wasn't a fit in Philadelphia. Seems to be a fit here. And the way they're going to use him is he's going to come down on third down because he's not an edge setter. Mikal Williams at Georgia was a great edge setter. But as the youngest edge and the least experienced as far as snaps played last year in the entire draft, they're going to have him, I think, start. He's going to earn it, but he's going to start. He can set the edge. Huff's going to come in. Williams is going to move to the inside. Bosa's going to be on the other side, with the thought being, okay, now you've got three guys who can rush the passer. Bosa will see less double teams, which he won't. And then whoever is that third defensive tackle on passing downs, whether that be the big guy Collins or West, they're more run stuffers, is going to be Givens, you know, whatever the case may be. And that will be their pass rush, what they call turbo package. You'll hear Papa talk about that all the time. Turbo. That's their turbo package, or NASCAR package is what the Giants used to call it, New York Giants, when they had Strahan and that whole group there. So traditionally it's called a NASCAR package. They call it a turbo package, whatever. And that will be their pass rush package is what exactly is what it is. They move Williams inside, Huff's on the outside, and Bosa's on the other side, and hope they wreak havoc on quarterbacks. And as I've told you before, the secondary is very questionable, so that would help if they could have the quarterback have less time in the pocket. So that's the point. And give the 49ers credit, because defensive line, we screamed and yelled for it. Well, you get Huff, you get two big defensive linemen that you grab in the draft, and I don't know that they're even necessarily done on that end. I do still think that they'll grab a safety. They need one badly, with Brown off surgery and Mustafa coming off a knee. They need a veteran. I've mentioned Julian Blackman's name, whatever the case may be. So that's what's going on as far as the 49ers are concerned. And the bigger picture, and I told you this yesterday, if you're new to the show today, the thing that it tells me about the 49ers, very simply, in a big picture way, is that if you're signing Purdy and signing Warner and signing Kittle, and Huff is not going to be cheap. He's a pure third down guy. He's not an edge setter. $7.95 million is what it's going to cost you against the cap. $8 million for a third down pass rush specialist. Tell me again how the 49ers aren't trying to win. Tell me how the 49ers are taking a year off. They're not. And it was ridiculous when media locally and nationally said that. Oh, they're taking a step back. No, they're not. They're just simply saying these players have played their best football. They have the most space, cap space, that is being eaten up by players not on their team. And the reason they're doing it is not that they're taking a step back. It's just that they said, we don't think these players either can play to the best of their abilities or are injured too much or whatever. And so they're eating a bunch of cap space. And in the future, they're going to be able to sign more guys. That's not a step back. Bryce Huff tells you it's not a step back. Signing all these guys, it's not a step back. I showed you the odds from Vegas yesterday. They had the fifth best odds to win the NFC. So for a team that is somehow tanking, which some people suggested they were doing for a year, Vegas, here's what Vegas does, just to let you know. They don't want to expose themselves too much. So when you see high odds on somebody, and they won't even really give you the, like, you're like, oh my God, the Colorado Rockies, they should be 1,000,000 to 1. Well, they're not going to put them 1,000,000 to 1, because what if just for some weird reason Colorado just started winning? Then it exposes Vegas to lose a shitload of money. So they don't do that. So when you see the 49ers fifth, that's Vegas saying in the NFC, when everybody else has dogged them the entire offseason, and those the yappy shows will still do that during the day, Vegas puts their money where their mouth is and says, you think I'm going to expose myself? You think I'm going to put them at long odds so the bunch of people are going to throw money on them because they're the 49ers? And then at the end of the season, Kyle Shanahan and company all of a sudden are sitting in the NFC Championship game of the Super Bowl, where they've been every time the team is healthy? Not doing it. So, look, everybody can yip-yap, and everybody can make lists and Mount Rushmores and who's this and who's that and power rankings. Ooh, who's on the power rankings, which don't matter at the professional level? College level, okay. You have to be beautiful. In the NFL, it doesn't matter. You have to win games. There's no beauty pageant. There's no power rankings. There's no any of that. And Vegas tells you, I don't care what anybody says in power rankings. We're not exposing ourselves to a bunch of people betting the Niners at really long odds so that we can lose our ass. No, that's a good way for a guy who sets those odds to get fired. So I'm always a big believer in the, you can talk and talk and yip and yap, and then someone says, bet me $1,000. And you go, whoa. Wait a minute, you're just talking about how confident you are in your team or your player. So all I'm asking for is you to back it up. Whoa. Let's not go crazy. I thought. All right, so that's what's going on as far as the 49ers are concerned. Everybody running around and giving us more Huff stuff for like the third time. But it is officially official that Bryce Huff is a member of the 49ers. Let me see. Before I move to this Durant stuff, let me make sure that I don't have anything else that a weight update and then tattooed, and that's going to be in the caboose. Okay, I think I'm good. Yeah. Oh, this is one before we move on from Huff. Jonathan Jones, I think, was the first on this. So this matters. 2026 conditional fifth round pick that can turn into a fourth tied to performance, all pending physical. the thing that makes that great for the 49ers is $7.95 million on the cap is a big number for a guy who's going to be a third down pass rush specialist. But the fourth or the fifth, you know, the fifth, which could turn into a fourth, you better hope that it's a fourth because that means he played well, gets his double-digit sacks like he did with the Jets in 23. So let's hope it's a fourth-round pick, right? Because that means he played well. The 49ers get all those comp picks all the time. And losing all the guys that they lost in this last offseason, they're going to get a bunch of comp picks. So that pick is going to be replaced by a comp pick anyway. So if you want to feel really good about the trade, they essentially got Bryce up for nothing because of the math that's going to happen because they lost the players they did in free agency, they'll get comp picks. So, yeah, they lost a pick, fourth-round pick, if he plays well, technically, but they're going to be able to make that up. That's the way I see it. So there you go. That's the story on the 49ers. No, they did not get Huff to stop the run. He is not a run stuffer. In fact, if you look at Pro Football Focus, that 21.8% pressure rate in 2023, which led the NFL, is awesome. He is not a guy who's going to stop the run or set the edge. That's why the 49ers, I'm sure, looked at the situation when Philly was shopping this guy and said, well, we got Mikal Williams. And the issue with Mikal Williams is at 20 with the least amount of snaps in the draft at the edge last year, he's going to be a guy that's going to take a minute as far as rushing the passer, I think. That's what everybody said. That's what the word is and all those kind of things. Guy has all the physical skills in the world. Now, if he's able to rush the passer this year, awesome. But they're looking at, like I said, a turbo package where they want to take him, and he's big enough to move inside on passing downs and give guards problems. And then you move Huff to the end, and then Bosa's opposite him, and now you got three pass rushers. I don't know who the four is going to be, but now you got three good pass rushers, hopefully. But I don't think Mikal Williams is going to be a double-digit sack guy this year. I don't. I think that he's going to be a guy that maybe, you know, you'd be happy with, hey, set a really good edge and give us five or six sacks. Like, that would be huge with Mikal Williams. They're not expecting that. So what they're thinking is, let's get a legit pass rusher opposite him. Mikal Williams is a good edge setter. He's first, second down guy, and we'll gradually put him in. But I've said this about the rookies the whole time for the 49ers. It is not logical to think that you're going to have your first-round pick, your second-round, like all these guys hit. Like, oh, my God, five or six guys hit. It's going to be like the 24 class where, like, hey, you know what? Mustafa kind of got into it after a minute, and, you know, Pierce saw kind of hit and miss, but he had a couple of games. And, you know, oh, Grendo had a couple of games. Like, that's normally what a rookie class is like. But now you look at the 2024 class, and they really got to step up this year. And then the 25 class has got to give you something. And then the second year, they got to really step up. That's kind of how it works. Most rookies come into the league, and they're okay. And then they start, if they're any good, then they start to blossom. Fred Warner, when he was wearing 48 as a rookie, he was okay. But Fred Warner now, it's like, damn. You know, that's just, I mean, as the years go on, if you're any good, a lot of times the jump comes from the first year to the second year. So that's really what the 49ers are expecting. They're saying, okay, those guys, Ricky Pearsall, who's already hurt. But, you know, Renardo Green, for example, is a massive guy that needs to take a big jump opposite Dimo Lenore. That's just, it's got to be. You know, especially given what the situation is defensively, that's the guy that I would look at right now under the most pressure, even more than Pearsall. I'd look at Renardo Green going, you better be great this year. Not just okay. You were okay last year. You had good spurts. You got to be great. You got to be like Ward in 2023 if this team wants to be good. Because if you're not, if you don't take that step or you take a step back, oh boy. Because you got Upton Stout, a rookie in the slot, Diamon or Lenore, who might be a better slot than an outside guy, but he's going to be an outside guy. So you better be really, really good in your second year. That's what the Niners are looking at. Rookies, yeah, you want them to be solid. Mikal Williams down the line, I think he'd be really, really good. But to ask a 20-year-old who had the least amount of snaps of any edge in the draft to come in and give you 10 sacks in the first year, I ain't get it. He played in the SEC. Ain't the NFL, man. So that's why Huff is a really good move, and it does show you that the 49ers aren't screwing around. That's the bigger thing to be. Let's see. Let me double check everybody. All right. Powwow. Good to see you, my friend. All right. Let's get to Durant to the Knicks. So this was really interesting last night. I'm trying to think where I read this, cause I want to give it credit. Maybe somebody was just talking about it, but, it makes a ton of sense. So remember, this is funny to me because first and foremost, having done this for about 30 years, and I've been on the East Coast and the West Coast and all these different things, and there is a massive difference in media. So in the Bay Area, we are generally soft. We are what I would call a soft media. We don't ask the hard questions. Some people think that like Tim Kawakami or somebody like that, we really get after him. Dude, when I was in Detroit, we had like five columnists at the between the Detroit Free Press and the Detroit News. There was about five columnists who were venomous that made, you know, and whoever you think the most pain in the ass media member in the Bay Area is, times that by 100. And we had like five of them in Detroit. That's just, they were just, it was, it's a negative town. People are looking for the underbelly and they could find it. And they had guys who would go after it constantly. That's just what it was. I've told you the story before. Joey Harrington was the third overall pick in the draft in 2002. And he came there and he thought it was funny that people couldn't, he was from Oregon, quarterback at Oregon. And he thought that it would be funny if he passed out stickers that pronounced this Oregon correctly, Oregon, because a lot of people called it, what is it? Oregon. That's what they called it. Oregon. Joey's from the University of Oregon. It's Oregon. And so he thought it was funny. The media members did not think it was funny. He got off onto a really bad foot and they called him Joey Blue Skies. I remember there was a game in Green Bay and the wind was howling and the ball was going sideways, but Brett Favre played okay in it. And Harrington went like 5 of 21 for like 84 yards and 2 interceptions. And he comes into the post-game press conference and says, you know what, I really think we're making strides, though. I know it doesn't look like it. And people attacked him and crushed him. They just want to know the truth there. And so these guys who, you know, were the attacking columnists, maybe there weren't five, but there were certainly like four. But then the rest of the media was just, you know, I wouldn't call them venomous, but really getting after it, too. That's just what different cities are. Okay? So that's just kind of how it goes. The reason I'm bringing that up is because there's rumors for Kevin Durant to go to the Knicks, and it makes a lot of sense. Because it's for Cat, and they're going to pick out a scapegoat in New York. They always do if they get close, but no cigar. And so I think the Knicks maxed their team out, but there's others who think that the Knicks should have beat the Pacers, whatever. The Pacers smoked them. And a lot of the venom of the New York mania is going to Karl Anthony Towns. And he didn't play well, and he's soft, and this, that. Okay. New York hasn't won a title in forever. Durant didn't want to go back, if you remember, to the Knicks, wouldn't even talk to him when he went to the Nets and formed that super team with James Harden and Kyrie Irving, and then that thing fell apart. But it was weird that he wanted to go to Brooklyn anyway, but now there are lots of people, and you know, it's not like you go to a market like that and it's like, oh, Durant's going to be a star. But I could see Durant finally saying, and remember, he's from the East Coast originally, Washington, D.C., saying, you know, at this point in my career, and maybe this is how it ends, New York in the biggest stage would be maybe the place. I could see Kevin Durant thinking that, but he is the softest, mentally, he's the softest superstar I've ever seen. Now, is that saying Kevin Durant's not good? No, it's not saying that at all. For his size, he might be the best scorer that the game's ever seen. But in terms of, you know, he would blame like the media here, and we're the softest media ever. And I don't know if he needs that for motivation. And we all know what he does online. Like there'll be these people with the egg avatar with 3 followers. And Kevin Durant will like call him out. It's like, dude, what does it even matter? Like, that happens to me all the time. What do I care? Over 30 years of doing this, I have rhinoceros skin. I don't care. Say whatever you want about me. Now, my kid, my wife, you know, other, you know, family members, that's different. Like, you can say whatever you want about me. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I'm old enough. I understand that, you know, I'm not going to go after trolls, anything. I don't care. I don't care. I know what you're trying to do. But yet Kevin Durant, for some reason, has the thinnest skin of anyone I've ever seen who's as good as he is. Like, he shouldn't respond to any of this stuff. But here at Golden State, one of the reasons why I think he left town was just, you know, he kind of had a beef with the media here. And I've never seen anyone really have a beef with the media because it's just not that big of a deal. You know, there's certain guys, certain people who maybe, you know, certain guys like Javon Kinlaw or whatever have certain beefs, but whatever. Generally speaking, we're soft and easy. That's just how it is. And like I said, there's no one in this media that's venomous. I would not call anybody venomous. I don't care. They try to be. They're not. Just not. It's not like New York. It's not like Philadelphia. It's not like Detroit. It's not. It's not like any of those places. And so for Kevin, my point is for Kevin Durant to want to go to New York, that's going to be fun. That not only is that going to be fun on the court, that's going to be fun off the court. And I don't know if he can handle it, to be honest with you. I don't know if he can handle it. But it makes sense from a trade standpoint of I could see him wanting to go to New York, because what that could be is, and this is what I think Kevin Durant's got in his head, who knows. But he wants his own team. right? I'm going to Brooklyn, it'll be my team. I'm going to the Suns, it'll be my team. And I'm going to show people I can win a championship on my team. Should have just stayed at Oklahoma City, but whatever. So it's going to be my team. In with the Warriors, the biggest problem was it will never be my team. It's always going to be Steph's team. So you're not going to get the credit you think you deserve, even though it doesn't matter. Kevin, you won championships. Who cares, right? And years from now, it's just not going to matter. All this bullshit that screaming A and all these people say, but it, you know, it's not his team. Who cares? Like, that's all stupid stuff that doesn't matter at all. But he seems to buy into it because he's got thin skin. So I can see him going to the Knicks and going, this can be my team, even though it's kind of Jalen Brunson's team, but he's a bigger star than Jalen Brunson. So let's say, you know, the Knicks couldn't get there. Oh my God, Kevin Durant got there and he put him over the top. And it would be different than with the Warriors. They had already won titles before he got here. So all of a sudden it'd be like New York, the biggest market. Durant rides in on this white horse and wins a championship. And oh my God, and then he can retire. Like, I could totally see his mentality being that way, not realizing that the media is probably going to eat him alive. But okay. And then the other side makes sense because Karl Anthony Towns is friends with Booker. And Booker and Towns are in Phoenix, and they're young enough, and they add pieces around it, and they get maybe a pick or something from New York as well because they're desperate to get Durant. It makes a ton of sense. It makes a ton of sense. Where Durant goes, hey, this could be my team. I could ride in and end the drought for New York, the biggest market, and they all hail me, and I ride off into the sunset. Karl Anthony Towns gets to play with his college buddy, right? Everybody's happy. So I could see that trade happening. I could see Durant to New York. I could see the Suns getting Karl Anthony Towns. That makes sense. Give me your thoughts. I don't know if you're watching this. I'm going to play something just as an excuse. But so I'm watching, right after the show. I was watching Dan Patrick. And Dan Patrick has Charles Barkley on. And it's an interesting conversation. And, you know, Dan Patrick is certainly anti-ESPN for his days there. And so they're getting into ESPN. And Dan's kind of saying, watch out for this and watch out for that. And like I said, I worked for ESPN for years. So a lot of the stuff, I'm like, yep. ESPN's going to be tough for Barkley unless they completely leave those guys alone. And I've told you for months and months, it scares the hell out of me that they won't. But we'll see. There was a report out yesterday that said that, no, ESPN's not going to touch this thing and everything else. And so we'll see. But what's interesting about this is Barkley tells Dan Patrick yesterday that it's 2 years, like I'm done in 2 years. He said he was talking with the Turner people and they said, could you give us an extra year? Could you give us that third year? He's like, did you hear me? And he likes these people. He said, did you hear me? I'm doing two, not three, not four, doing two more years. So Barkley's going to do 2 years according to himself. Now, could ESPN throw this package at him that is ungodly and he would stay? Maybe. But to hear him talk about it, he's got more money than God and that can 10 generations of family could ever spend. And so he's like, look, I want to do this two more years and then I'm out. So realize that we're going to go through this whole dog and pony show about being sad about inside the NBA being gone in 2 years. And that's really when it's gone. It's not gone now. And I've told you this for months and I've really kind of stayed off of it. I didn't talk about it, what happened this weekend, because you know they signed off and all these articles are written and what an era and all this kind of stuff. The show is just moving to a different channel, which to me and you nowadays, who cares? I don't care. Like, it's on ESPN instead of TNT. That's actually easier. And as long as they don't screw with it and all that kind of stuff, then you won't even really be able to tell the difference unless ESPN screws it up. But if it's Shaq and Ernie and Kenny and Charles, and they don't screw with it, which some executive with his giant ego might, then the show's going to be fine. But really what's going to happen is in 2 years, this show's over in 2 years. Over. There is no other Charles Barkley. You can put Shaq out there, and you can put Kenny out there, and you can put Ernie out there, and then what are they going to do? They're going to be stupid. This is where they're really going to be stupid and put in, Perkins or, Draymond Green. I mean, that's what I could see. Now, I just did that off the top of my head. Two more years, Draymond Green's got two in his contract. When Charles Barkley retires in 2 years, Draymond Green's going to be in the spot of Charles Barkley. It's not going to be near the same. I don't care what you think about Draymond Green. He is not Charles Barkley. He's not likable. He's not likable in any way, shape, or form. If Draymond Green wasn't on the Warriors, you wouldn't like him. He's not funny. He's none of those things. He's nothing Charles is. He's not self-deprecating. He's way too serious. He's more Kendrick Perkins than he is Charles Barkley by a mile. And so, yeah, that's what's going to happen. I just thought of that. Draymond's deal's up in 2 years. Charles Barkley wants to do this two more years. ESPN's going to try to elongate this show, and they're going to put Draymond Green in the place of Charles Barkley. That's what they're going to do. And it's not going to be near the same. And then this is why.
I want me to apologize. That's not going to happen.
What
that's
they want not you apologize going for?
Happen. Me joking about those big old women down the center.
Zion warming up. Chuck, you had a visceral reaction to this.
It looked like me and Shaq had a baby.
What did it look like, Chuck?
Like me and you had a baby. He just banging and banging and banging. When a guy's banging you, you spin off of him. Those are the worst defenders to play against, actually. Because if you can feel their body, come on.
18 points for Joker, only Nugget.
Barkley would pick Krispy Kreme donuts for the first pick.
Look at your fat ass, too. Don't you sit me talking about it. Put that dude picture back up. Do not go to commercial break. This fat Laker fan. Look at this big old. He going to talk about me eating donuts. Look at his fat ass.
I miss San Antonio, one of my favorite cities.
Why you like San Antonio?
Oh, man. I look skinny down there.
I mean, we say what you want, man. He's the show. I mean, Shaq's been really good on the show, and they work off each other, and Kenny's really good. Everybody's got their role, and Ernie's the straight man. I understand it. This show's not ending now, even though if you read everything and watched everything and everybody's crying and it's an end of an era. And I don't care where the game is. Just where's the game? Just tell me where the game is. I've told you this before. I don't care. Where's the game? Where's the show? Cool. It moved network. I don't care. Where is it? It's still going. Okay, it's still going. What's with all the goodbyes? I don't care about Turner. Ted Turner. TNT, the place I used to watch Roadhouse on a Sunday at 5 o'clock when there was nothing else to watch. That's what I'm crying over. No, I'm not. But when Charles Barkley leaves in 2 years and Draymond Green's contract happens to be up and Draymond Green takes Charles Barkley's spot in 2 years, then the show is over. Because Draymond Green's not Charles Barkley. He's not funny. He's not self-deprecating. He's more Kendrick Perkins. He's the guy you want to hate. He's a villain. Charles Barkley's not a villain. I mean, even though he said the things he said about San Francisco, and I'd said this around the All-Star game, I said, if Charles Barkley wants to continue to be an asshole about the Bay Area, then stay home. Like, the All-Star game is not about that. That's the only time in his entire career at TNT I was like, and I'm not really liking this guy. But outside of that, he's funny. He's self-deprecating. He'll go along with the joke. Draymond Green's too serious. He's not going to do that. He's just going to continue to crack on guys. And for some reason, I don't know. It's just, it's an old term. Charles being Charles. When Charles would rip on people, which are, it's funny. I don't know why. I don't know how. It just is. There's only one of them, man. And Draymond Green's not going to be able to replace him. So then the show's over. And I don't care. Put Draymond Green in there. Put Kendrick Perkins in there. Put Screamin' A in there. I don't care. 2 years from now, I don't know who's going to retire. Put Kevin Durant in there. I don't know. There's no Charles Barkley. So that's when the show's over in 2 years. Random things throughout the show. What else? Roadhouse. It's just an amazing show. I mean, just an amazing movie. And if you don't like it, that's a you problem. Honestly, go watch it again. Jake Gyllenhaal tried to, did you watch the one? Was it Netflix or somebody who went for a quick money grab? Corliss Williamson, went for a quick money grab and tried to do it. And I got through like half of it. That's why I love having stuff at home. You know, I don't think I've ever walked out of a movie theater, like no matter how bad a movie is. And I'm pretty selective, especially nowadays, of what movies I go to. I don't go to a lot of movies. But I don't think I've ever walked out of a bad movie. I don't think I ever have. But like if you're at home and it's like you're watching a movie and it's bad, you're just like, bleh, I'm not watching the rest of this. So I was like halfway through Roadhouse with Jake Gyllenhaal. And I think I got to like a point in the movie where it was like in Florida. Well, the whole thing's in Florida, but he was at the actual roadhouse at the beginning and I don't know, beats up this biker gang or something. And it's kind of like, it's like I was saying with Draymond Green. It's like, he's just not a likable character. We're like Patrick Swayze and Sam Elliott kind of stuff. Hey, mijo. It was like, you know, that whole thing. Like those were likable characters. And then the guy who was like the bad guy was a guy from like Emergency 51 back in the 70s or 80s. Like that guy was an unlikable guy or whatever. But like the, I don't know. I didn't make it through the whole movie is the point. Didn't make it through the whole movie. So that's what it's going to be like. Like, man, come on. It's not the same thing. Not the same thing. But yeah, that's what TNT used to be. Roadhouse. Like on a Sunday, right? You're watching some, oh, there it is. Pretty Woman or Roadhouse or something like that. Like that was TNT. We're getting romantic about that channel. They're leaving a channel. I mean, that might be emotional for them because maybe there's certain producers or certain people or whatever that that are not going over to ESPN. Like ESPN's like, no, we got guys. It's fine. Like, I understand them being emotional about it. I understand them being romantic about it, but not me. Like, it's, oh, that's right, it's on ESPN now. Like, I'll never go watch, like, TNT, dead to me. Unless there's, like, I think, are they doing some college football or something? They might be doing some college football or something like that. Like, if there's a college game, I'm okay. But other than that, like, my favorites, like, I have YouTube TV, so, like, I'm sure you do the same thing. It's great because you can put all the sports and things you watch, and then the channels that, you know, the 300,000 other channels that you never watch, I just don't even have those available. I don't even go through those. So, like, TNT will be on, the like, the banned list now. I don't know. Why am I going there? I think you might have college football. They're hockey, maybe. I don't know. They got something. So maybe, but not very much. And I'm not emotional about it. It's no big deal. But when Barkley leaves in 2 years, that show's over. Draymond Green. Click. Please. All right. Random things throughout the show. That always happens. By the way, before I get to the Sweet Clean Family Friendly Caboose Pistol, I got two of them. Actually, I got three of them today, and they're good. God, we already going an hour 20. That's when you know the show's rolling. It's going. It's going good. Because I don't really have any, like, I got three more things, and we'll go at least 1:30 or so today. But do remember, I want to give you, because I know you're all going to leave after the Caboose Pistol. That is my friend, Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle. You see it on the screen there, that pair of legs. If you want to click on that QR code, and I suggest you do, my wife is doing the, as I tell you all the time, the stem cell procedures. She's feeling amazing. The foot, she's walking. She can walk long distance. Oh, you go to Vegas or something. We were in Arizona over the weekend. We're walking. She's like, I could never do this without Dr. Riopelle. Tells me that every time we go somewhere. Because of the stem cell that she's doing. She's got the elbow, the shoulder. She is feeling great. All those contraptions she used to ice up on. Nope, ice up, son. Nope, she doesn't have to do that anymore. So if you click on that QR code and tell him I sent you over there, he will take extra good care of you. He always takes care of everybody very well. But you want to do that stem cell. It is life-changing. And, of course, I'm doing the low T, and it's amazing. Take that quick blood test, do a little procedure, you feel like yourself again. It's really that simple. And if you didn't hit the QR code, all you got to do, and he does all sorts of other procedures as well, so you just go to the website and check it out. I'm going to tell him I sent you over. Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle, R-I-O-P-E-L-L-E, Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle. He is awesome. He's in San Ramon. So if you're in the East Bay, it's a no-brainer. But if you're anywhere in the Bay Area, I'm telling you, it is worth the drive. He is that good. All right, one more time. Click on that QR code. If you can't get to it, Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle, use your favorite search engine and go see my friend, Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle. He is amazing. He's life-changing. And he does all sorts of other procedures beyond the couple that we're talking about here. So please make sure that you see my friend, Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle. You will thank me later. You will. You'll be like, okay, he wasn't lying, because I'm not. This is absolutely great. Boy, this, you know what's funny is those drops are still screwing me up. So let me see if I've got, there it is. All right, let's do this.
John Lund Unleashed presents the Caboose Pistol.
Wedged in the crack of her buttocks.
Somehow, someway, Lundo thinks this is the best way to leave a final impression on you for the day.
The old Caboose Pistol, everybody has one.
Did you say Caboose
Pistol? I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
Leave me out of this, you weirdo. Here's John. Here's John.
All right. I think I might have three today. I'm going to save the best for last. This is just an opinion, this first one. So I'd love to know your thoughts on sports tattoos. Fan got a tattoo of the choke. So that's, of course, game one against the Knicks. Halliburton hits that shot. And he thought they'd actually won the game. It just tied the game, and they went into overtime. But a guy gets a tattoo of it. Here's my philosophy on tattoos. If it's something really close and personal to you, like let's say that your team, you've been a fan your whole life, and they finally win a championship. Like I'd say even the Niners. The Niners haven't won a Super Bowl since 1994, so there's a lot of people during their lifetime, what's that, 20, 31 years, that haven't seen the 49ers win a Super Bowl. And if you were that big of a fan of the 49ers, I could totally see you getting a Super Bowl tattoo or something that means a lot to you, or a logo or trophy or whatever. I could see Giants fans hadn't won one in San Francisco, 10, 12, 14, maybe getting a World Series trophy and then adding a 10, a 12, a 4. Like I could see that. You know, you've been a huge fan your whole life. You've devoted a lot of time and everything. And so people who weren't sports fans really wouldn't understand that. But I understand if it had been a long time, like, I don't know, the Patriots or whatever. They want a bunch of them. What are you going to do? Like, you know, whatever. But if, you know, if it means that much to you, I totally understand that. I really do. I understand it. But like a specific moment like that, like, did it change your life? Like, if the Pacers lose to Oklahoma City in the NBA Finals and come in second, nobody cares who came in second, except for people in third world countries who get all that gear. Like, woohoo, the Pacers are the champions. And then not really, but anyway, whatever. I mean, can you imagine somebody who lives in a third world country and who they think is actually like really good and, you know, like that? They think the Bills are like the best NFL team of all time because they had all those losses or whatever, you know, teams who lose in the finals. They think the Celtics stink, right, from the 60s, but the teams that all lost to them, like, yeah, this is the greatest team because they get the gear and shot over to them. You understand? So, anyway, look, the Pacers may not win a championship. And if they do, that was game one. Like, I don't know. Like, I wouldn't even, like, that's not going to go down as a great moment in NBA history. And plus, Reggie Miller did the first one, man. And, you know, they didn't win anything. Like, Reggie Miller did a choke sign towards the Knicks fans. Awesome. Did Indiana ever cash in to win a championship on any of those? No, there was a guy named Jordan, and he prevented him from doing it. And Shaq and Kobe beat him in the NBA Finals, too. So, like, Indiana never won a championship. So, you're going to get Reggie Miller choking out, you know, like, didn't mean anything. They didn't win anything. We only care about winning. That's what I'm saying. Like, if sports tattoo wise, if my team were to win a championship and it had been like a years and years and years, and I was real emotional about it, then yeah, okay. I could totally see that. I get it. Like, again, you do you. First of all, I should have started with that. You do you. I don't care. You do you. Tattoo things all over your face. I don't care. But I look at that and I just go, it's that important, huh? Like, I get family names and not, like, I have a GRL in the back of my left bicep or tricep, excuse me. My left tricep on the back. And my dad passed away to cancer in 2014. That's my son's initials as well, same name. So, I mean, that means something to me. It doesn't mean that I'm right and that person's wrong. It's just, what if they don't win? And then people are going to look at that years and years from now and go, what is that? And I kind of look at this as like, it's almost like a joke, you know, with a joke. Like, if I have to explain it to you, then it's not that effective now, is it? Like, if I have to explain to you a joke, then obviously I didn't tell the joke in the right manner, or it was just a bad joke, and I probably shouldn't have told it. Same thing with a tattoo. What's that tattoo there? Oh, well, remember when Tyrese? No, I don't. Remember when Tyrese Haliburton did that one? No, I don't remember that. Oh, you mean the year they lost to the Thunder in the NBA Finals? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah, cool. All right. Weird. Like, I don't know. That's weird. That's just me. All right, let's get to some caboose-ish type of stories today. I'm surprised. I looked everywhere, because you know me, I like to play the news story. I will play a news story for you next for the third caboose pistol today. But a British Airways flight attendant was found naked and dancing on a San Francisco flight to London. This was a London-based crew. So I read the piece in the Chronicle today, or yesterday. And what happened was, apparently, was this was like right when they got going. So the dude was drunk, coked up, dancing around naked. And so there's like a 3-person crew here, or 4-person crew, because it was a long ass flight to London. This happened early on in the flight. The dude was all drugged up, drunk, all that kind of stuff, naked and dancing on the flight. They had to take this guy and they had to put him in to a seat and strap him down. And it was one of they had an extra seat in, like, we were talking about this yesterday, you know, where you can put your legs up and all that kind of stuff. So they actually gave him one of the better seats on the flight, but they had to strap him down for 10 hours in the flight. Now, first of all, yeah, he shouldn't have done it. They said it's up for review, so he hasn't been fired quite yet, this British Airways flight attendant who was from London. But the biggest part of the story was, I was trying to think, like, the guy himself, like, he's all excited, right? A lot of us drink in the bar before we get in the air on an airplane, because we're a little bit nervous or whatever, takes the edge off, or we just like to drink, in my case. And the guy does a bunch of coke and everything. So he's all messed up and everything. And then he's sitting on the flight, and probably, I don't know how long that would take you to kind of come down from that. So let's say you're 4 or 5 hours into the flight. Maybe you pass out, you wake up, you're strapped down. You probably can't remember, because, I mean, if you were dancing naked as a flight attendant on the flight, you might have been overserved. You might have overserved yourself. You might have done a few too many lines, whatever. So the guy probably wakes up 4 or 5 hours into the thing and looks around. He's strapped down. I don't know what he's wearing. Probably got a robe. Maybe they put his clothes back on him, whatever. Not naked. And you're looking around and you're like, you know, maybe you see one of your flight attendants. You know, hey, Sally, what the hell, bro? Like, what's going on here? Bob, I mean, dude, do you remember any of this? That would suck, because now you're strapped down, you're sober or kind of, or maybe probably hungover. And you look down, you're like, how long we got the flight? And you're like, oh, we got like 4 more hours. And you're like, oh. So you're strapped down. Everyone's pissed at you because they got to pick up your work because it's a damn long flight, like 12-hour flight. And now you're just like, oh, and you know you're getting fired. And you're probably not wearing your right clothes. And that'd be a bummer. But that's your fault, man. You can't go on to, come on, bro. You're naked and dancing on a flight from San Francisco to London. Like, yeah, British Airways, they're like, yeah, you're, by the, when you land, it's like, yeah, you're terminated. You're out. So anyway, I wish I could have found a news story for that. Why didn't, there's got to be a station in San Francisco. I looked at all the local stations because that's the first thing I do. I see an article like that and I'm like, okay, the news story is going to be funnier than the written story. So I try to go find it and none of the local TV stations covered it. Come on, man. You got to be better than that. So anyway, there's number two. This is the best one. So there's a story in Florida, and there wouldn't be a Caboose Pistol without Florida, to be honest with you. It's just, it's crazy. But this story in Florida, a motorcyclist ran over a 6-foot alligator on the highway. Here's the news story.
Truly only in Florida, but amazingly, they're both doing okay. And I say that because of what happened. They were both thrown off their bikes after hitting the gator, landed on the pavement on I-4, and they were left with just a few broken bones.
Bikes moved a little bit left and right, and I, next thing I know, I got a big blob in the road. I didn't know it was gator. I thought it was a semi-tire that come off, the retread or something.
But it was a 6-foot alligator that Cameron Gilmore hit on I-4.
I said, help me, Jesus. And I just kept flipping. I'm like, when is this going to stop? And then I start sliding. I'm like, when is this going to stop? Just sliding and sliding and sliding. And then I went off the road into the grass.
We did reach out to FWC to ask about what happened with the gator. They said that a trapper was sent out to assess the injured gator, but we haven't heard if it survived or not.
Because that's what I cared about. The whole news story, which is about, I cut it short. It's like 4 minutes long. I'm like, what happened to the gator? What happened to the gator? What happened to the gator? Anyway, only in Florida. So a guy, and there was another woman too, and they both run over this gator. They both go flying for their bikes. They got incredibly lucky. The guy's like, oh, I was flipping. Like, when is this going to end? Oh, and I was sliding. When is this going to end? It's like, dude. And that would probably end, I don't know, would that end? It would for me. Like, that'd be it. I had a friend who got into a really gnarly bike accident, really lucky. Lots of, you know, road rash and all that kind of stuff, broke a leg. And it's like, that'd be it for me. And he's like, nah, I'm going to get back on. I'm like, bleh, no way. No way. Isn't that a sign from God? Like, look, there's a 6-foot alligator in the middle of the highway. You hit it, you flipped, you spun, you slid, you survived. Like, you know, I'm just giving you, like, knock it off. Quit riding that dumb thing. Nope. Getting back on. Like, dude, that is a sign from God. Like, get off the motorcycle. Please get off the motorcycle. Nope. Not doing it. Do I have anything else today? Give me your thoughts there. 6-foot alligator. And that is your Sweet Clean Family Friend, the Caboose Pistol. So again, the British Airway flight attendant, naked and dancing on the San Francisco flight to London, tattoos, sports tattoos, and the gator, the guy who ran over the alligator in Florida. Anything else that I've got to get to you on this fine Tuesday edition of the program? Gator kebab. Yeah, but I've had fried gator, and I don't think it's actually fried gator, and it's really, really good, like as an appetizer. I think they just call it that. It's not really gator. I don't think I've ever eaten gator. Let's see. Yeah, cocaine is a serious thing. It'll make you dance as a flight attendant on a British Airways flight from San Francisco to London is what it'll do. Plus, he was inebriated as well, and they said maybe he was taking some other pills. Like, he was doing the trifecta, or actually even more than that. Let's see. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Not that I would know that coke is a short high, but a couple hours into that thing, after he woke up, he's like, damn. And he's probably, and the other thing too is before he passed out, he's like, I could use another line. Nope, not happening, dude. You just got locked down. That's a great point. That is a very good point, Tony Vega. Yep, he got, as we used to call it, caned. Great. London's making fun of my 72. It was 73-9, wasn't it? Yeah, 72-9 is 81. 73-9 Warriors. Greatest team. No, see, the thing is, if somebody goes 73-9, that's historic. Nobody's going 73-9. I think that's fair. You get a 73-9 tattoo, that's something. I mean, remember the 73-9 Warriors? I do. But the thing that sucks for you in getting that 73-9 tattoo is it the thing that sucks about it is you go, I'd like to know when you got the tattoo. Did you get it after the season? You got a 73-9 tattoo. Don't tell me you got a 72-9 because they won 73. But if you got a 70, because the Bulls went 72-10, if you got a 73-9 tattoo, I could live with it. But here's the problem. Somebody looks at your 73-9 tattoo and goes, oh, that was the year they didn't win the title. And you went, yeah. So it's negative. That's what I mean. Is like Halliburton does that choke thing. That's fine. But then all of a sudden it's like they lose to Oklahoma City and now you have a negative thing on your leg. Like, yeah, that was the year that Halliburton, oh, yeah, they lost it. They didn't win that, right? No, they didn't win that. Oh, okay. That's unusual. Or that's awkward. All right. I think that's it today. Very, very nice. By the way, oh, look at Pine. Gator is fantastic. If you haven't tried it, you must. It is real, and if you go to the right place. All right. Believe me, I'm one of those people. I'll try anything once, except for maybe Cal Brands or what is it, Rocky Mountain Oysters. Not doing Rocky Mountain Oysters. I think my life is okay, incomplete, if I don't eat cow balls. Right? I mean, it's right. Am I missing something there? Does somebody have something on that one? But I think I'm okay. But I do think I did have, they called them gator bites, but they weren't gator. They were not gator because they were, I don't know what they were, but I did. I've been to a bar where it's like, you know, I mean, I'm not saying that's a typical thing. They call them gator bites, but I don't remember what it was. sports tattoos are tricky. That's all I'm saying. Sports tattoos are really tricky. The other one, and I don't mean to get into this, the other one that's tricky is relationship tattoos. And I've told you the story before. My first wife, I got the GRL and she goes, well, are you going to get something of mine? And this was one of the dumbest things. This was like of the list of 100 things I did wrong in that marriage. This was top five. I said, right out of the gate, I said, well, he'll always be my son. I don't know if you'll, and I went, oh, and she looked at me like really funny. I go, I'm just joking. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, no, really, seriously. All right. That'll do it. Yeah. Relationship ones. Watch it. Wasn't it Johnny Depp who got the one that said Winona forever? He was dating Winona Ryder. And it said Winona forever, and then he turned it into Wino forever. Like, that's where you got to be really careful. Like, what the hell am I going to turn Winona forever into? Wino forever? Oh, I can't wait to get that tattoo. Can't wait till my son gets that tattoo that says Wino forever. Great. And he is a Wino. But still, you don't want to, I don't know, that's something you want to celebrate. Like, look, this is me, Wino. They used to say Winona forever. That's pretty tough. Remember a few weeks ago, we had the guy who's clearly a front runner. He had a Cowboys tattoo, the big star on the back of his back, and then he had it redone into like a Chiefs with a headdress, and it said Kansas City. It's like, dude, seriously? You got to be careful. All right, that'll do it for me today. I believe Pauly is going today, right? Pauly and Pauly Max Particles at 11 o'clock. They usually go on a Tuesday, so I'm going to say they are. Remember, Tom Tolbert on Bay Area Sports Collective. Hit that up. Rod Brooks, Amy Gutierrez, Amy G., and, Jeremy Uffelt. Jeremy Uffelt as well. So that is Bay Area Sports Collective. As of now, we'll always be adding new shows. So make sure you're subscribed to the Bay Area Sports Collective on YouTube, as well as John Lund Unleashed. If you would do me the favor, before you get out of here, of hitting us with a like means the algorithm's going, okay, not half bad. Hit us up with a like today as well. That would be great. If you're watching on X today at John Lund Radio, that is awesome and incredible. And thanks for making the time for us on that platform. If you'd come over to John Lund Unleashed and just hit us with a subscribe, that would be awesome as well. Believe me, we're going to put out more stuff today, so make sure those alerts are on as well. Thanks for watching on, what else did we have today? Instagram going today. Thank you on Instagram. Same thing. If you'd migrate over here, that would be tremendous. Anything else? I think that's it. All right. And that is it for today. All right. Great Tuesday edition of the show. We'll see you for the Wednesday edition of the show. Keep those alerts on John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. We got a lot more to send out today, and we'll do that in just a few minutes. But for the rest of your day, have a wonderful Tuesday.
Thanks for hanging out with John Lund Unleashed. We'll try to be better next time, though I wouldn't hold my breath. Please like and subscribe on the John Lund Unleashed Pod YouTube channel. Watch live shows weekdays at 8 a.m. on YouTube, Instagram, and X. And make sure to have your alerts on for shows throughout the day or night. All things Lund can be found at johnlundunleashed.com. johnlundunleashed.com.
Goodbye!